Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Amen. How many of you are ready to hear from God today, right? Wow. Man, a great worship. What a great word. So good to see you today. If I haven't told you lately, Anita and I love you. We're so thankful we get to do life together. And those of you that are watching online, thank you for joining us today. And if you're ever in this area, we want you to come on, hang out, because I think you really enjoy all the wonderful people here at the Father's House. Father's House, would you welcome our online guests that are watching with us today in our online church? Wow. Well, we're in for a real treat. Those of you who are able to be with us at the Chamber Breakfast on Thursday, we sponsored the breakfast, the Father's House, and we had a very special guest that was there, and man, lives were touched and changed, and it was just so great. And so we're honored that also Dr. Dave is with us this morning, and then he'll be also with us tonight in a 90-minute seminar that is going to be free for you. It's usually $1,200. He travels with Maxwell and some of the other leading speakers. He's the number one success coach in America. And it's usually $1,200, $1,500, but we're giving it to you free tonight. Just be here at 6 o'clock. It's 90 minutes, 6 to 7:30. You don't want to miss it. I'm sure he'll talk a little bit about it. But we've known Pastor Dave, Anita and I have known him and his wife for a long time. He pastors a very successful church in Detroit, Michigan, and he is, as I said, known as the number one success coach in America. And we have him here in the house today at the Father's House. So would you stand on your feet and welcome my friend Dr. Dave to the crowd this morning.
Oh, good morning. Hey, before you sit down, sit down. Look around you. Find the best looking person you can real quick. Just find the best looking person. All right, when you find them, I want you to tell them this. Tell them the rest of your life. All right, that was decent, but I think you could do better. Look at your second choice real quick. Just look at your second choice. No, don't do that. How about this? Just point to yourself. Let's try this. Say the rest of my life. Wow, you sounded better when you start talking about yourself. Say, will be the best of my life. Okay, now you know what we're going to say. I want you to say it one more time. How many believe your life could get better? How many believe that? All right, if you really believe it, say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Now, I'm going to get you to say that as much as I can today, because what you continually hear, you'll eventually believe. You know, if you keep hearing you'll never make anything of yourself, you're dumb, you'll start believing those kind of things. But if you keep hearing the rest of your life will be the best of your life, pretty soon you'll start believing the rest of your life will be the best of your life. When you start believing it, you'll start seeing the rest of your life. Now, I'm not saying life's going to be perfect. Some of you are thinking, boy, this guy just thinks life's perfect. He must not have any problems. Listen, everybody has problems, right? I mean, We've all been through some things. I gotta say this all the time just to keep myself positive. How many have a hard time just staying positive? I'm gonna be honest. I was born a pessimist, so I know. My blood type is even B negative, you know. So this is work. But one more time before you sit down, say the rest of my life will be the best of my life. You can be seated. I'm not saying life's gonna be perfect. Right? Some people say, well, you just think life's perfect. I'm not saying life's going to be perfect. I know we all go through things in life. How many have ever, well, even the Bible promises us in John 16:33, makes a promise. In the world, you will have trials, tribulation, distress, frustration. Awesome. Just came to encourage you a little bit today. You're going to go through things in life. How many have ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence? Anybody ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence? Okay, what'd you do when the airplane hit turbulence? Prayed, held on, buckled up. Maybe. Did anybody get off the plane? Like, I'm out, don't like turbulence. You can't get off the plane, right? You hold on, you pray, you buckle up, whatever. Same thing in life. How many have ever hit turbulence in life? Things got a little bumpy, right? What do you do? Same thing, pray. Hold on, buckle up. You can't quit. Life's tough. I'm just out here. No, you hold on. I was on a plane the other day with a lady, and she'd never flown before. And I sit down next to her, and so we were talking for a few minutes. She was real nervous. She had never flown before. And I'm like, don't worry. I'm on the plane. It'll be fine. So we talked for a few minutes, and I fell asleep. I can't stay awake on the airplane. As soon as it takes off, I'm asleep. And so I'd fallen asleep. It had been about 25 minutes into the flight, and we hit some turbulence. It started shaking a little bit. The plane, she started hitting my leg. She goes, hey, wake up. I'm like, huh? She's like, do something. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know, she goes, aren't you like a preacher? I'm like a preacher. I'm not like a pilot, you know. And she's like, she goes, just do something religious. So I got up and took an offering. I thought that'd be a good thing to do. In the world, you will have some trials, right? You will have some, you'll go through some things, but I love the end of that verse. It says this, but be of good cheer. You mean you want me to have a good attitude in the middle of it? Be of good cheer. He said, I've already overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. That's good news right there. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Oh, it's so good to be with you. I lived in Leesburg like 30 years ago. We were figuring out this 30 years that this church has been going. As soon as they came, I left town. I'm like, no, 30 years ago. And I know some of you are thinking, were you born here? It was 30 years ago. Okay, I'm not 30, obviously. Some of you are looking at me like that. He looks horrible if he's 30. You know, you ever notice that? Like, we'd be like, 29, how old are you? 29. And then holding, I'm like, ooh, you look bad for 29, right? People ask me now how old I am. I'm like, I'm 76. They're like, you look phenomenal for 76. You look great. But it's good to be back in Leesburg. I was here at the Father's House, about 10 years ago or so, 10, 11 years ago, and they finally let me come back. I've been begging for 10 years, and finally he said yes. But we lived in Florida till about five years ago, 2020, right at the beginning of 2020. My wife and my family, we were here in Florida for about 30 years, and then God said, I don't know what sin I committed, but he's like, I want you to go to Detroit. And so I've been in Detroit paying my penance there now. Actually, Michigan is amazing in the summer. And it is amazing. We're having a great time. We started a church there in 2020 and just moved in our new building just a couple of weeks ago called Wisdom City Church. And we love what God is doing. Things are changing since we got there. When we got there, the Detroit Lions were horrible. And look what's happened. And I don't take all the credit for that. But we've got a few of the players come to our church. And I was kidding with them after that first couple years we were there. They were pretty bad. And I told the guys, I said, hey, guys, I said, when I die, I want you all to be the pallbearers at my funeral. So you can let me down just one more time, you know, because they were just always letting us down. But they're doing so much better now. And so if you'll keep them in your prayers today at 1 o'clock, in Jesus' name. But it's funny because I do a lot of, last night they asked me to, I was here because I'm here with you guys, but they'd asked me to do, and we work a lot with a lot of the different NFL teams, and they'd asked me to come over and speak to the Cleveland Browns last night to do their chapel service. And I love it because all the guest teams come in and a lot of them will ask me to come over and do their chapel. And it's great because I'm in there sharing a little encouragement with them, but underneath I'm praying that they lose. And maybe take that out of the live stream so they may not have me anymore. But anyway, so hopefully someone prayed for that today. But life is a gift. Life is a gift. How many like gifts? Yeah, life is a gift. And God picked out life for you. He picked out, God didn't go to Sam's or Costco and buy life in bulk and just give us all the same thing. He gave every one of us different gifts and talents and abilities. And the other day someone said, Dave, you and me, man, we are just alike. I said, if you and me are just alike, one of us is unnecessary. I'm going with you. No, none of us are alike. I can't be you. You can't be me. Listen, I cannot be Pastor Terry. How many love your church, by the way? How many love the Father's House? I'm thinking with these two, how many love your pastors? I mean, it's Pastor Appreciation. You got a great team, but Pastor Terry, Pastor Anita, You guys have two of the best leaders and communicators. And I tell you what, I was thinking with pastors like that, it's got to be pretty easy to love your church when you have pastors like this. Because it's easy to have a heart for the house when you know the house has a heart for you. And they love you. They want the very best for you. Man, when I hear them talk about you, I love coming to a church where the pastors love the people and the people love the pastor. There's some churches that doesn't work out like that. But I'm glad to be at one of those today. And I so honor Pastor Terry and Pastor Anita and love them and their friendship. And just, I'm always encouraged. He's an encourager. And every time I'm around him, I just feel better. I feel encouraged. And God has given him that gift. Yeah, he's a great preacher and a good leader, and they're awesome at all that. And but his gift, man, is an encourager. I feel that gift in my life, and I know you guys get it all the time. But so I'm going to give you a little bit of word today. Don't expect it to be as good as him. I can't be him. I got to be me. So I'm probably just going to sit here and talk a little bit. I wish I could preach that good, but it is what it is, right? You just gotta be you, right? Best way I could introduce this message that I got prepared for you today is imagine yourself a contestant on a game show. Anybody like game shows? Anybody like game shows? Okay, a few people. Price is Right, any Price is Right fans in here? My parents love the Price is Right. I got to spin the big wheel one time. Not on the show, but I was at the studio and backstage, and I got to spin it. It was still pretty cool. Wheel of Fortune, any Wheel of Fortune fans in here? Wheel of Fortune, okay, a few. Jeopardy, how about Jeopardy? Or should I say, what is Jeopardy? But you like a game show. So picture this game show. There's contestants on the game show, and you're one of them. There's two other contestants, and the host of the show says, hey, you got four doors up here. Kind of like that show, Let's Make a Deal, right? You got four doors you can choose from, and each door has a little label on it. Door number one, better relationships. And door number two would be career success. And door number three would say influence. And door number four would say wisdom. And they said, okay, you can pick anything you want. You just pick a door. And the first contestant said, man, give me career success. I'll take number two. And in the crowd's yelling, like, pick one. You know how they do. They're trying to encourage it. And then the second person is me, and I get to go second. I'm like, give me better relationships. I could use better relationships. And then the next person, the third one, says, I'll take door number four, wisdom. And when they pick door number four, all of a sudden confetti starts flying and sirens start going and lights everywhere. And they go, you're the winner. You're because you picked door number four, because you picked wisdom. Guess what? You're going to get all the other doors. You get one and two and three. You get everything because you picked wisdom. Wisdom wins it all. Could you imagine? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Is wisdom. Are you really saying that that's the key to making the rest of my life the best of my life? I know some of you think that can't be possible. And you probably think that because wisdom is a lot of times misunderstood. It's a missing quality in our lives, I think, so often because it is misunderstood. Tonight we're going to get into it a little bit. If you want tomorrow, how many would like to be doing better than you're doing in some area of your life right now? Some area of your life. Yeah. If you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, it just means there's something you don't know. Right, pretty simple. When I heard that, I went from being a know-it-all to being a learn-it-all. So what's tonight for? By the way, tonight, 6 o'clock. Tonight is for anybody who just raised your hand. It's not for everybody, only for people that want their life to get better. How many want your life to get better in some area right now? So you would be the ones probably that should rearrange your schedule and get back here tonight. It'll be good. And also, if you're a business owner, any business owners in here? Entrepreneur, tonight will be really good. If you're a business owner, managers, anybody in management kind of thing? Okay, got a couple managers. Good. Anybody in sales? Anybody do sales? Okay, good. That'd be good for you guys tonight. Anybody have a job? Jobs? Okay, good. It'd be good for you to come. Breathing. Anybody breathing? Breathing? Okay, if you're any of those, tonight would be a good night to come back. It's not for everybody, but people a lot of times they associate wisdom because they misunderstand it. They associate it with some good little saying. Oh, that's some good wisdom, or a little, you know, a fortune cookie, right? They open their, oh, that's good wisdom right there. And that fortune cookie or a, you know, or a good life lesson, a good quote they see on Instagram or Facebook. And if it's one of mine, it probably is. But, you know, or we think of wisdom, we think of mentors in movies like The Jedi Master. Right? Or the sensei. We think of wisdom. Gray hair. We think of wisdom, right? We think, see someone with gray hair, that's a product of past time. They must be wise. And we assume just because you're older, that you get, the older you get, the better your decisions get. And that can't be true because there's a lot of people been around the block a few times and still making dumb decisions. So I think our concept a lot of times is underdeveloped, especially compared to the Bible. Now, I think the only problem you'll really ever have in life is a wisdom problem. You don't really have marriage problems. You just have some wisdom problems. You don't really have financial problems. A lot of times you just have some wisdom problems. A lot of times you don't even have health problems or just wisdom problems. I will tell you this. The more wisdom you have, the less miracles you'll need. Now, I'm not saying that I don't believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I could use one right now, matter of fact. But how many have ever made this statement? If I knew back then what I know now. Let me see, have you ever made that statement? If I'd have known back then what I know now, I'd have never made the decisions I made that got me here where now, God, I need a miracle. So the more wisdom you have, the less miracles you'll need. I try to learn something every day. If you want tomorrow to be different than today, learn something today that'll make tomorrow different. If you go into tomorrow with the same information you have today, you won't really have it tomorrow. You'll just have a longer today. Tomorrow will be just like today. I try to learn something every day. It's not always life-changing. I learned the other day, you know, if you have 6 inches of belly fat and you get shot in the stomach, it will protect all your major organs. I mean, now that's not like, you know, that's not life-changing, but it did let me know that I am bulletproof. I am bulletproof. So there's always something to learn, right? There's always something to learn. Wisdom is not for human reasoning, but wisdom is something divine. It's actually a spiritual gift, like the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. There's the gift of wisdom. And it's not automatic with age. Just because you get older doesn't mean you have it. I know some 30-year-olds that have more wisdom than some 60-year-olds. And so, because wisdom is something that needs to be pursued. Wisdom is something to be pursued. One writer says in the Bible that anyone who doesn't pursue wisdom is a fool. You don't want to be that. Wisdom is something, it's not something common, it's valuable. Wisdom is valuable. It's worth, it says it's worth more than gold and diamonds, what it says in Proverbs, right? It also calls wisdom the principal thing, that it's the principal thing, meaning more than anything else, that what would have a capacity to better every area of your life than wisdom. It's the principal thing. And there's no better example than that than a guy by the name of Solomon. Solomon's one of my favorite people in the Bible. I love wisdom. I've had a passion for wisdom for many, many years. And that's why we call our church Wisdom Seed. That's actually why we named our son Solomon. We have one boy. His name is Solomon. We believe in miracles. It took us 9 years to get Solomon. We were married for 9 years. We've been happily married now for 21 years. And yes, and just celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. Some of y'all get that a little later. But Solomon's our miracle. But according to history, Solomon was the wisest person to ever live. I mean, think about it. He ruled Israel for 40 years. His ruling, his writings, his teachings are all legendary. I mean, and to the fact that educators and philosophers and royalty would pay money just to sit at his feet and listen to what he had to say. The exploits, the wealth, the expansion of Solomon's kingdom was unrivaled in his time. Even today, Solomon's name is still synonymous with wisdom. And what may surprise you is he wasn't always wise. I mean, we think of wisdom. I mean, obviously he wasn't always wise. He had a bunch of wives. Whew. Think one would be enough, right? But he wasn't born with wisdom. It didn't arrive once he became the king. All of a sudden, oh, now you're the king. You've got wisdom. It wasn't even automatic when he passed a certain birthday, he got wisdom. Solomon's wisdom came from an encounter with God. See it in 1 Kings, the records that in the early days of Solomon's reign, he decided to go to an area called Gibeon to personally worship God. And the Bible says he arrived, he brought like 1,000 burnt offerings and an extraordinary sacrifice meant to display Solomon's desire to honor the Lord. And such a gesture touched God's heart so much that he moved on Solomon in an extraordinary way. I think if you got your Bible, you can look at it. It's in 1 Kings. I'll put it up here on the screen if not. But 1 Kings chapter 3, the night that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask me, and I will give it to you." What do you want? Just ask me. Ask me, and I'll give it to you. I can only imagine all the things that must have gone through Solomon's mind, right? And it even tells us in there, kind of like the game show, behind door number one. God says, you can have wealth and riches. Behind door number two, the life of your foes. Behind door number three, honor. Starts giving them choices. And Solomon said, God, give me. He picked the right door. And all of a sudden, lights started going. Confetti started falling. And God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything else. Wisdom became the master key. Wisdom was the key that could open up. You ever had a master key? Probably around here, there's a key that can open up every door. And wisdom is that master key that opens up everything. I mean, if God said you could have anything you want, what would we have said? How many of us would have picked door number? How many of us would have picked wisdom? But God, there's this car I've been looking at. I've been up at the Villages for a couple of days. Oh, there's this golf cart I've been looking at. I don't know. God, if you could just remove all calories from food, that would be good. I have a battle. I have a fight. I don't have a fight with Jack Daniels, but little Debbie and I are in a wrestling match like you wouldn't believe. I mean, there's so many possibilities, right? There's so many possibilities. But Solomon said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help to lead people. I need your help. And so God, give me wisdom. You can go on and read 1 Kings 10 through 14, and it goes through all of it. But in that moment, Solomon's life changed. God gave him wisdom and unlocked long life, success, influence, victory. So much more came through the master key of wisdom. Godly wisdom is no small thing. It is the key to everything. It's the master key. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Look at this scripture. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. There's one thing that will shape your decisions, one thing that will direct your destiny, one thing that will determine the quality of your life more than anything else, and that thing is wisdom. And tonight, by the way, we're going to dig into some wisdom principles. Now, I learned this a long time ago. There's a big difference between the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus prepares you for heaven. The principles of Jesus prepare you for earth. There are ungodly people who use godly principles all the time to achieve ungodly results. While a lot of times we don't know the principles or we ignore the principles and wonder why we struggle, yet the Bible is full of wisdom principles to help us win in life. For years, I was on a tour called Get Motivated. I was with the guys from Shark Tank. If you've ever seen a TV show called Shark Tank, I was on tour with those guys, a guy named Tony Robbins, these guys. And I was sitting with one of the guys that's on Shark Tank, a guy named Damon John. And we're sitting backstage, and I said, you know, everything that you're talking about today is all in the Bible. He said, it's not in the Bible. I said, sure, yeah, it's all in the Bible. And so he got done talking, and I said, that was good what you said about when you write down your goals. He was talking about this company he started called FUBU, and he said, I wrote down all my goals. He said, when you write down your goals, you dramatically increase the likelihood of accomplishing them if you'll write them down. I said, oh, that was good. That was a good one. I believe that. It's in the Bible. He goes, it's not in the Bible. So I showed him Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision, make it plain so you can run with it. He goes, it is in the Bible. So yeah, it's all this stuff's in the Bible. Yeah. It's like straighten up your shoes. You ever straighten up the shoes in your closet? And when you got done, felt like you could conquer the world? Anybody know that? Let me see your hand if you know that feeling I'm talking about, right? Maybe your garage or your junk drawer. You're like, what else could I do today? I'm ready. I could do anything. Why? Why do you feel so good about that? Because you did something godly. You created order. God is a God of order. Order is the accurate arrangement of things. So you did a godly principle, and you always feel good when you do godly things. So all these principles. So tonight we're going to dig into some of those, because the difference between where you are and where you want to be, I'd like to be doing better, is just what you know. And so wisdom is the master key, not talent, not money, not luck, not opportunity. Wisdom is what determines whether you make it or whether you don't. So it's the difference between success and significance. It's the difference between a mistake and a miracle, between just surviving life and mastering life. So Proverbs 4, verse 7 doesn't say getting money is the wisest thing you can do. Doesn't say getting influence is the wisest. It says getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So let me jump in to, I'm gonna make this real simple because I've got 9 minutes to do it. Take the word wisdom. I'm gonna give you an acronym. This is just gonna help you remember it. And we'll dig into a little bit more of this tonight with some of the principles. I'm gonna teach you from a book I wrote. It's available. Tonight I'm gonna dig into it, but it's available for you today. I'll tell you about it in just a second. But this is always, for me, anybody ever hear a really good message and you get home like, man, that was so good. What'd he say? It was good. It was really good. What was it about? I like acronyms. It just helps you remember, right? It's kind of like the two old guys were talking one day, and one of them said, hey, I got my anniversary's coming up. And the other guy said, oh, your anniversary. He said, I got to tell you, I went to a restaurant the other night with my wife, perfect for an anniversary. He said, oh, yeah? What's the name of it? He said, I don't remember the name of it. He said, you just said it was a great, he goes, it would be great for an anniversary. I mean, the atmosphere is so romantic, and the service was excellent, and the food, oh my goodness, some of the best food. I was thinking this would be perfect for someone's anniversary. He said, that sounds awesome. What's the name? What's the name of it? He goes, I can't remember the name. He goes, wait. What's that flower with the long stem, the red one? It's got a long stem. It's got some thorns on it. And his buddy said, a rose? He said, that's it. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that restaurant that we went to? This is just to help you remember, okay? So if you're taking notes, write these. How many letters is in wisdom? Six? I'm going to give you six things in 6 minutes. Oh, boy. I didn't plan this out very good, did I? The letter W, walk in teachability. Yeah, if there's anything that's convinced me of my need for wisdom, that's being a parent. Boy, I had to learn to be teachable. Every phase has a new challenge. My son's 19 now. He's in college and playing D1 football. I'm proud of him. But, I got him a college meal plan. He should have plenty of food, but he still needs Chick-fil-A money all the time. He eats like a linebacker. And he's a little skinny wide receiver, you know. But that summer he was home, and I opened the door, got a knock on the door, opened the door. It was DoorDash. Was at the door, and I don't mind DoorDash, but I was a little confused because the day before I'd went to the grocery store and I'd bought like $200 worth of groceries, maybe even more. I bought a few hundred dollars worth of groceries. So I asked my wife, I said, Christine, why is he ordering DoorDash when the fridge is full? And she said, well, Solomon said he couldn't find anything to eat in there. Anybody got kids? You ever heard that before? There's nothing in there. There's nothing to eat. I thought he opened the refrigerator. He stood there for 10 minutes. And then he said, there's nothing to eat. I walked over to the fridge, same exact fridge. And I opened it up, and I looked in there, and I saw chicken, and I saw bread, and I saw some milk for cereal. I saw the leftovers from DoorDash the day before that he had ordered. And there was enough food to feed Noah and the ark in there. And it turns out there was something to eat in there. It just wasn't what he wanted to eat. And then it hit me. The problem wasn't the supply. The problem was the consumer. And isn't that how we treat wisdom sometimes? The Word of God is full of wisdom. And we open the Bible, we look in there, there's nothing in here for me. And the truth is, there's plenty in there to eat. It's just, you just don't always like what's being served. And so it's important that you stay. The same can be said of our just unwise culture. The problem is not with the supply of wisdom. We have access to more information than ever. We make poor choices that plague us all the time. So access to wisdom isn't the problem. Accepting wisdom is the problem. Being teachable, to learn and to grow. Ah, goodness. I mean, I can prove it to you if you don't think wisdom is important. And each person has got to choose to become teachable, to grow in wisdom. Jesus lived how many years? 33 years. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mainly cover about 3 years of his life. In fact, there's only one account in all that area, only one account of Jesus from the age of 12 to the age of 30. Only one account, and here's how it summarizes the one account from the age of 12 to the age of 30. What was Jesus doing? One account, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus was growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Out of everything he could have been doing, out of everything they could have told us about the Son of God, we're told that he was getting smarter. And if you don't think you need to get smarter, my goodness, having a teachable spirit is central to being who God designed you to be. I mean, even Jesus had to grow in wisdom. So grow in wisdom. The letter I, oh my goodness, invest in understanding. Invest in understanding. Proverbs 2 says, turn your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Wisdom's not found accidentally. It's pursued intentionally. You go to my house, I've got over 4,000 books. Why? There's too much stuff I don't know. If the difference between where I am and where I want to be is what I know, then whatever I do, I want to get wisdom. I want to get wisdom. And so I can't get enough. Plus, I mean, what took someone 20 years, 30 years of their life to figure out, you can learn in a few hours with a book. That's why I invest in myself. Say, how much is the book? $20. You think it's worth it? I don't know. Do you think you're worth it? I don't buy a book because I think the paper's worth it. I buy because I think I'm worth it. I spent thousands of hours studying some of the greatest achievers in life, whether it's on the battlefield, the business field, whatever field of life, and some of the greats in the Bible. And I found that there were principles in in their life that they used, and I put all those together in a book. What took me thousands and thousands of hours to study, you can learn in 3 hours for $20. You'd be crazy not to buy a book. And so invest your time. Tonight, 90 minutes. Yeah, there'll be some football games on, but my goodness, you don't even have a football team here, do you? Tampa, they call that a team? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They're not bad. Okay, we'll not get into that. Lord, forgive me. But tonight, you invest your time. Time is all God gave you. So when you invest it, It's a valuable investment. I don't really teach a lot on time management because I don't think time is something you manage. I think time is something you invest. And so when you invest time tonight, come back for 90 minutes to learn, to invest in wisdom. And so information's free, but wisdom costs. It costs the investment. And if you're not willing to invest in wisdom, you're not going to receive any of it. The letter S. By the way, I love to come back and meet everybody. I'll be back there signing books. I love to sign books. So I'm about learning something every day. I'm always learning new ways to spell names. When I'm signing books, it's for like Amy. There's like 5 ways to spell Amy, right? I mean, Sean, there's like 3 ways to spell Sean. I'm always learning new ways to spell names. The other day I was in Starbucks and there was a new girl in there and she had her little badge on, said trainee. And I was just messing with her. I'm like, that's funny, your mom named you trainee, you know? And she looked at me, she said, it's Trine. There's always something to learn, right? There's always something to learn. So, oh my goodness, the letter S, seek counsel. Seek counsel, the Bible tells. Plans can go wrong for a lack of advice. Oh, you'll never rise higher than the voices that you listen to. The voices that you listen to. The letter D, and like I said, we'll have to dig back into this. I'll try to time it better next service. Maybe you want to stay. I don't know. Can they stay for 2 services? I don't know. Decide with discernment. Wise people think before they act. Life is just a sum of all your decisions. So direction is determined by your decisions. Choices, your choices create the chapters of your life, of the book of your life. And so when I went to Michigan, oh, I don't have time to tell you about when I went to Michigan, but I had to discern. It wasn't a decision that I made like on my own. It would be like, why would you go there? You live in Orlando. You live in Florida. Why everyone's leaving Michigan to come here. Why are you going the other way? But because we had discernment to listen to why God wanted us to go. Now, 5 years later, we took a church that was about to go under, 50 people, a building that was falling apart from years of deferred maintenance. 5 years later, we just moved in our brand new building 3 weeks ago, and hundreds of people are worshiping every week and finding Jesus. In the last 3 weeks, over 100 people have said yes to Jesus. So because I prayed about it, because I thought about it, because I discerned it, I decided to discern the discernment of God, today things are going well. The letter O is outvalue everything else. That's just talking about wisdom has a greater worth, you know, outvalue. It has a greater worth and importance than anything else. That's what that word means. So wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire will compare to it, right? There's a bunch of good stuff there I gotta skip. Multiply, here, the last one. Multiply what you learn. You'll only remember what you teach someone else. So it's so important when you learn something to share it with someone else. Pass it along, mentorship. Give instruction to the wise and they will become even wiser. I love mentorship. It's passing on what you've learned is one of the greatest things you can do. I have one son, so I talk about him a lot. But on Father's Day, he's 19 years old, preached his first message. And to watch him put together a message and to share his heart with the people of our church, I was like, man, that was an example of wisdom being passed on. It's a great testament to what God's called us to do. And so it's proof that the wisdom I'm receiving is being reproduced. You got to share it with others. Well, let me pray for you before we go. Did y'all get anything out of this tonight? I know I kind of went through it pretty quick. But if you're here today, you said, "Man, I could use some wisdom." There's moments in our life that hopefully you felt a little inspiration today. But there's moments that don't just inspire you; they shift you. Moments where God doesn't just speak to your head, but he speaks to your future. And I believe this could be one of those moments, because the truth is every single one of us have areas of our life where we desperately need wisdom. For some, it may be a decision that you're stuck on. Maybe it's, for some of you, it's a relationship that needs some clarity. For some, maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your health, some decisions that you need to make. Your next steps, here's what I know. One word from God, one word of wisdom can do more than a lifetime of effort. One idea from heaven can solve a problem that you've wrestled with for years. And wisdom's not hidden from you. The Bible says if you need wisdom, to ask for it. So if there's an area of your life, you say, "Dave, there's an area where I need some wisdom right now." You know, before I pray that prayer, one more thing. Bow your heads all across the room real quick. The most important thing you can do is say yes to Jesus. Life goes better when you put God first. The wisest decision you could ever make is to put God first place in your life. So that now you can tap into his wisdom. Maybe you're here today and you've never made a decision to put God first in your life. Life goes better when you put God first. When you put God first, he'll take you places that you never dreamed. Maybe you're sitting in this room, you say, "Dave, at one point God was first place, but you know what? Today I came in here feeling far from God. I've allowed some other things to come before God. I've put a relationship before God. I put my business before God. I put something else before God. But Dave, when I leave here today, I'm making a decision to put God back first place in my life, to rearrange my schedule, rearrange my priorities, and put God back at the top." If you're one of those two people today, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to say a prayer. If you're one of those two people, number one, you've never made the decision to put God first place in your life. Maybe you've been to church a few, maybe you've been here for months, maybe you've been here, but you've never made the decision to live your life with God first place, tapping into his wisdom, and life goes better when you put God first. Not saying it'll be perfect, I'm telling you, it'll go a lot better. If you've never made that decision, and that's you, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand real quick. Number two, you're in the room, you say, "Dave, at one point God was first place, but if I'm real honest, he's not right now. And today I'm making a decision to put God back where he belongs, to rearrange my priorities and put God back first place in my life. If you're either one of those two people, when I count to three, heads bowed across the room, everyone bow your heads across the room, I'm gonna count to three, just lift your hand real quick, say, Dave, online, if you're watching online, just pop up a little hand emoji. Just say, hey, Dave, pray for me when you pray that prayer. One, two, three, real quick, across the room, let me see your hand. God bless you, God bless you. Hold your hand up just for a moment, just for a moment. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you in the back. Father, I thank you for these hands. Someone's going to put something in your hand. It's just to help you. It's just an encouragement to you. We believe that you need some wisdom, some discipleship along the way. And we want to help you in the journey. But if you lifted your hand, I want you to say these words with me. Online, if you lifted your hand. Matter of fact, I want everyone who can hear my voice, just say these words with me. Everyone who can hear my voice, say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. If you said those words today for the first time or the first time in a long time, you just made the best decision that you'll ever make. Come on, put your hands together for them. I tell you what, if you lifted your hand, give us 12 months here at the Father's house. Every chance you can, get back here. Get here at service. Get your kids in kids' ministry, your youth. Get your family here. I'm telling you, 12 months from now, you'll say, man, that was the best decision that I ever made. We want to help you along the journey of growing in Christ. Now, one more thing. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm way over my time, but let me pray this prayer for you. How many of you have got an area of your life right now where you need wisdom? You need some godly wisdom, some discernment in those areas. Well, Father, I thank you for hands that are lifted across the room. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I thank you that wisdom is available for anyone who asks. You said if we ask that you hear, if we lack wisdom, we ask you. And so today, we come before you and we ask you to open up our hearts. We lift our hands saying, hey, I need wisdom. Lord, I speak supernatural wisdom over every person here. Wisdom for decisions, wisdom for relationships, wisdom for finances, wisdom for businesses, wisdom for health, wisdom for direction, wisdom for calling. God, give them divine insight, the kind that couldn't be earned with education or experience. Give them clarity where there's been confusion. Give them strategy where there's been struggle. Give them peace where there's been pressure. Father, I thank you that they will not walk blindly, but they will walk boldly. They'll not act in fear, but Lord, they'll act in wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, that as your wisdom and your favor begin to flow, as wisdom leads, I thank you that breakthrough comes. From this day forward, they'll walk in a new dimension of supernatural understanding. We receive it. Not someday, but we receive it today. Lord, we thank you. From this moment forward, we'll not live by chance, but we will live by wisdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, everybody said, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352 352-